Welcome to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Ideal Network Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. The short version of the word ideal in Ideal Network stands for I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. And there's much more. Thanks for listening in and share this with the people that are most important to you. Now on to our show with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For those people unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles, and we own this radio show. And when I was building this radio show, I was building it with this specific guest host in mind. Her name is Darlene Sartori. I was looking to be able to shine a spotlight on people that are doing the right things in the world, period, and especially those in relationship to building self-sustaining home-based businesses. So I spoke with Darlene, who was a customer of ours, and I said, I'd love for you to be a guest host on our radio show. So if you get a chance, it'd be really great to be able to host a radio show talking about the Ideal Network and all the different things that you are doing. And that has evolved, if you've listened in over the last couple of years, to Darlene starting a nonprofit organization, buying a church, helping some people out in her local community, working with different philosophies and different ideas and concepts and different products. So if you want to hear the very first radio show we've ever done, you got to go to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal. And then when you go there, find the very first one we did. You'll have to go back several, I don't know, it might even be 100 or so radio shows to be able to listen to Darlene's story so you can get as emotionally attached to her as I am, because she's really done amazing things. And I just get a chance to share a microphone and a platform with her on this radio show for the Ideal Network. And she's got a website, idealnetwork.biz. But also what happens is whenever she talks about something on this radio show, I wind up making notes, and then the rest of the radio sticks with me, meaning the rest of the content of the radio show sticks with me because she makes me think. And that's a good thing, because sometimes I get wrapped up in everything and I forget to think about some of the things that she brings up. So, Darlene, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Peter. You have given me a platform that every week helps me to not only get some clarity in my own thinking as I'm helping other people to get clarity in theirs. And this has become, of course, the end of the year and then the beginning of the next year is always, I guess, my favorite point on time of the year. And over the last week, we have basically in southern Indiana had a rare need for some of our survival skills, because we had frigid, very frigid cold suddenly drop down on us, and snow, and we've become accustomed over the last few years that, well, we don't have any big deal with winter, but East Coast gets that, we don't. Well, that's kind of like one of those who moved my cheese type situations. So not only did I get the month of December, I've now had 17 days in January to continue my looking over and making sure that what I would desire to have happening in 2018 is on course and that I'm prepared for it. Well, you know, one of the things I talk about is in survival, it's all about putting the big rocks in first. I say I'm a prepper, and very proudly a prepper, but I prep with a little bit different of a mentality in the fact that I'm preparing for ideal conditions, because I think it's where we put our focus on that then ends up providing us with the big rocks that we need in order to survive. Well, in so doing that, we need to make sure that we don't forget all the little things, too. So when we talk about the story of the big rocks, we have to remember that there are gravel and sand that goes in around those big rocks that kind of can be a little challenging. And then suddenly if somebody dumps that rock bottle over and all the rocks fall out, the question is, what do you do, you know, when you spill it, when your bucket falls over? So in going back through the last 2 years of making our shifts that we made into the nonprofit realm from the profit-making realm, there were a lot of adjusting that had to be done and a lot of elements that we weren't really prepared for. So this snowstorm and the weather shifting and et cetera, which right now, although I hold a positive thought, it's beautiful sunshiny out there. I mean, the temperature is like in the teens, but it's bright and sunny. It looks good out there until you step out the door. So as I'm writing this this synopsis to put on the internet and point the directions to some of the things that we are suggesting that individuals explore, I had this flashback to Y2K. And for those who don't know what Y2K is, that happened be 18 years ago when the year 2000, we were all panicked about what was going to happen when Y2K, when the year 2000 came along and our computer coding, the way it was written with the two digits and et cetera, we were going to have some really major, major problems. And so a lot of us have lived through times when, I guess that proverbial analogy of the sky is falling, the sky is falling. When something falls in your head, you think the whole world's coming down around you. Well, I had a call yesterday from a lady who we have helped several times over the last couple years. And, yes, she has had a traumatic situations over the last couple years with in her life. And, yes, it's been very challenging for her to get her life back under control. But I had to say no to her yesterday of helping her with her water bill. She says she lost her job, and it's how long ago? Well, a couple what? You know, and it's like she's stumbling. I said, how long ago have you been without a job? And she said, 3 months. And I said, there are plenty of jobs in this town. Why don't you have a job? Well, then, you know, I said, yeah, making excuses. And I suddenly remembered, of course, Peter's program on making sales or making excuses. So it's been one excuse after the other that I've heard from people who take our information and either apply it and say, hey, I've had great results because I did exactly what I was told to do to get my life back on track. And then there's others that just keep making excuses why, for some reason, they can't keep a job. Well, you know, a job is something that is a challenge for a lot of people if they have a lot of children to take care of or a lot of other aspects in their life that's complicated. But yet this person who would be absolutely great at a couple of the projects that we have that, you know, she could have been making money at, but she didn't because she couldn't see herself except having a job. She didn't see herself as an entrepreneur or somebody that could work from home so that she could take care of her kids, and she's not made wise choices. But as I told her, you know, you all have, many of you like yourself, have taught me a lot of lessons over the last couple of years of helping people who are needy. There's a difference between those who are truly needy, those people who are greedy, and those people who just keep making excuses for not making wise choices and then expecting someone else to pick up the pieces. So as I've gone through in writing this guide that I'm putting together, is the question is, number one, who is my audience that I'm writing the guides for? And as I began to realize, I really needed a multiple of guides. There's going to be those who are, you know, got their life well under control. They're making pretty wise choices. They just need to really keep on smoothing. They just need to keep their trim tab very carefully adjusted, keeping them on a well course. And then there's the other extreme of those who just can't seem to get their act together. And so the diversity that we have on this planet is such a wonderful, wonderful, a mosaic. There we go. I hadn't thought, couldn't come up with a word there for a moment. A mosaic. You know, we have all of these beautiful pieces to put into the puzzle, and it is some of those people who are the most needy that give us the greatest opportunity, of course, of service. But it seems really weird that we as a species would keep creating more needy people so that there will be jobs for those who are servicing the needy people. That just seems to be a little bit out of whack with our abilities to be very wise creators. And so as I've gone through looking at the whole idea of what I would desire to have is ideal conditions in which to live. In other words, paradise on earth. So I'm always looking towards those things that take us into that realm, and then also looking for the obstacles that are blocking us from that. And often, you know, when you just have one choice, you know, it's no big deal. That's the only choice I have. But when you have billions upon billions upon billions of choices to choose from, it takes a little more thinking power. And as I was going through these 2 weeks of, a little over 2 weeks of isolation, so to speak, yes, I have a four-wheel drive. Yes, I could get out and do whatever I wanted to do, tooling around in this weather and et cetera. But you know what? I just assume not. I enjoy having the warm wood heat. When our electricity went off the other night, it wasn't a big deal. We were still cozy warm, and I just drug the lanterns out, and we had light. So let there be light. So as we go through life, the more prepared we are for ideal conditions, the more apt we are going to make choices that are going to allow us to have those ideal conditions. So as I went through the last couple weeks and looking at how many of these guides am I going to need to assemble, because if my thesis is correct, all paths lead home, eventually there may be some detours, there may be some dead ends, but we can always backtrack, we can always get back on the course. But if we don't know the desired result, if we don't know the desired destination, we're never going to arrive at it. So I guess that's one of the biggest ways to assemble your rocks if they spill out, is to first and foremost, what are the big rocks that I want to put back in? What is it that truly gives me the ability to have ideal conditions to live in? And, of course, I always refer people to the very basics to start with. So whether you are a multi-billionaire or a trillionaire or a zillionaire, whether you have everything at your disposal or whether you're a person who doesn't have a nickel to rub together or two nickels to rub together, used to be pennies, you know, and pennies aren't worth anything now, so at least you got to say a nickel or a dime or a quarter in our inflationary economics. But the question is, they are the same things that we need to have. It's our choices. It's how we think about things. It's how we look at things. And so if you're looking at something that is a failure, you're going to be bringing about more failure. But if you're looking at saying, this is just another learning experience that's taking me towards the ideal conditions in which I desire to live, you're more likely to pick up the best big rocks to put back in first. And, of course, I always referring people to the Abraham Maslow's theory of hierarchy of needs and motivations. And, you know, first and foremost, we have to have clean water. Clean air, you have to have air, you have to have, you know, you can't go very long without clean air. So you have to have clean air and clean water and whole foods, healthy foods. You've got to have shelter that's adequate for the moment, whether it would be heat or cold or in between. You've got to be prepared with clothing and shelter. So there are basic big rocks that all of us need to work with. Well, if we all focus on working on those major big rocks, then the pebbles that get thrown at us or the sand aren't going to be as big a challenge. And this has been my biggest challenge in working with those who are in poverty and they have a poverty mentality, is just getting them to think about their first basic big rocks that we all have. You cannot go out and enjoy a fast food convenience store when all you got to do is go to the grocery store and get whole foods like bananas and apples and oranges and all of the, you know, carrots and all of the things that you can eat that are fast food. So if you would invest the same amount of money that you did on that greasy, high carbohydrate meal that is okay, the grease is okay, it's the carbohydrates that's the problem. So if you took the meat out and you threw away the bun, you'd probably be better off. But most people are eating way too much sugar. And so when we look at the other thing that I looked at this week was the food pyramid. You know, that food pyramid that was created for us several decades ago has done more damage to most people's lives than anything else, because it put down at the bottom was all these carbohydrates, and then they vilified fats instead of saying, no, you need healthy fats and you need healthy whole foods. In other words, it was not reality-based. So as we begin going into this year, one of the areas that I will be focusing people's attention more and more on is on reality-based thinking. Is what is it that really is the big rocks that you need to put into a very secure bucket so you don't knock that bucket over very, very easily? And it doesn't do you any good to have all these big rocks very safely and securely in your hand unless you've got a container to put them in, so that you're not always having to have them in front of yourself that you're carrying. And if you would think about that for a moment, it may be a little confusing to start with and following some of my analogies and my thinking, but I try to get a lot crammed into a half-hour segment so that you can go back and you can think of the things that I've talked about as they've occurred to me, is to bring together this network of thinking that's the ideal network. And so talking about the ideal network, let's have a quick commercial and then I'll get back on it. And Peter, if you have anything to say, welcome to jump in.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. This special segment can be heard again anytime with almost any device by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Darlene Sartori and the Ideal Network members. The word IDEAL is an acronym which stands for Individuals Doing Everything Around Life. The Ideal Network creates the in-place where individuals are empowered to reclaim innate freedom to generate fortunes from open source interactions locally, globally, and universally. No matter where you're at in your life, you can benefit from the Ideal Network. Thanks for listening, and now back to our show.
And we are back. Peter Mingles here with Darlene Sartori talking about different things relative to her approach towards building stuff. Darlene, you asked her a comment. One of the things that I'd like you to go over is, I know you use the term put the big rocks in first, but some of us may not necessarily know exactly what you mean by that. So could you clarify that point, because that would be a linchpin for people either understanding what you're referencing or not.
Okay. Many years ago, there was this story, someone telling the story about the big rocks, and he brought out a jar, and he had in front of him a big rocks, some little rocks, pebbles, and sand. And his question to the audience, basic, was how would you get all of these into the jar? And the whole idea is really get you thinking, is that the first thing you need to do, if you put the sand in first, you know, how are you going to get those big rocks in there? So most of our lives is dealt with little stuff that really isn't, as they say, amounts to hell of a bean. You know, you can have a great big huge pile of sand, but you got to put those rocks, big rocks, and the pebbles in there. And so when you do that, it pushes all the little stuff in there, so out of the way. If you first put into the jar the big rocks and as many as you can fit into the jar, and then put the next size up, the pebbles, they'll fill in around the big rocks. And then you put the sand in, and that fills around the pebbles. And then you put the water in. So as you begin to realize that most of life is all about that jar, that you have the various different big rocks, the smaller things, the smaller and the smaller and smaller. So if you deal with the big things first, the big issues, in this case, with and having ideal conditions, it's first and foremost you've got to take care of those big rocks. And those are what we call the on the Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, are your basic survival needs. So if you always have your basic survival needs in hand, those are the big rocks. They're taken care of. But if you don't take care of those big rocks first, you're going to have a tough time getting them back in the jar if you don't take care of those first. So the first and foremost is take care of your survival needs. Clean air, clean water, healthy food, shelter, clothing. Then you want to look at what do I doing for creating money to buy things that maybe that I can't make for myself. So then next thing would be a job or work, things that you would be able to create that sustain you in your civilization. And then again, what's the next big rock? So once you've dealt and taken care of all the things that take care of your survival needs, then you start looking at the smaller and smaller things. And then pretty soon you begin to realize that it's all pretty small stuff. And it's just taking care of the first, the priorities. And, you know, you use often the three groups of people that are the creators, the builders, the maintainers, and the destroyers. And if you look around, you'll see that the big rocks are all around and are really what we have are builders and maintainers. And then the little nitpicks of the sand of the people that are the destroyers are not going to be causing us as much problem. So does that make any sense?
Sure does. Absolutely. Yeah, and it's important that we remember these things, because I'll use your example of the nitpicking stuff and the small stuff. You know, the whole world is worried about what Donald Trump tweets out in a 40 or whatever word or character tweet or twit or whatever you want to call those little messages. And they get themselves upside down. They run radio shows, TV shows. They write articles about a word that he might use. And to me, this is just a whole bunch of a waste of time. It's the meaningless activities or meaningless things that people focus on when they really should be focusing on more of the bigger rocks. So there's so many more things to worry about than who wore what, you know, who said what in a tweet. Could you imagine giving power to a word in a social media message that's so ridiculously stupid most of the time? Not all the time, but most of the time. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're surrounded by constantly. Watch the news. They're worried about Republicans and Democrats and who did this and who did what and all of that sort of stuff. And, boy, can that really distract people from what's going on in their lives. Now, there are certain people that made that their ecosystem. So that's where they live, that's where they survive, that's where they generate their money. But unless that's where you generate your money or what's important to you, a lot of that stuff is just a major distraction and waste of time. So over to you.
Okay, you're definitely right on that. And that's an example of putting a whole lot of sand in there, and then there is no room for the big rocks. And so then we are wondering why we're in the mess we're in. Is because we've been allowing all this sand to get in our eyes rather than realizing that what we need to deal with is the big rocks first. And so this is where I found that in looking back over the last couple of years and switching from a business-orientated profit-making organization is realizing that the same skills work in a not-for-profit organization. And it's the difference is When we're working in a business environment, we are accustomed to working with people who already have a business mentality. They already have a prosperity mentality. And there's a big difference when you start working with people who do not have a prosperity mentality. A poverty mentality is a very challenging thing to deal with because it is supported by so many false and counterfeit dynamics. They are the thing that undergirds and keeps poverty in place is the same thing that these tweets you're talking about. It's that same mentality. Is people are focused on the wrong area. They're focusing on all of the little sand that creates a quicksand or a mudslide if the trees and the big things that hold the hillsides together, if you take off all of those things, that roots and everything that keeps life going on our planet. I'm thinking about the island of Haiti or the area of Haiti. You know, so many things have happened in Haiti, and most of it has to do with deforestation. Well, you see the same thing happened out in California with the mudslides. You know, when you have a fire that destroys a lot of your trees and the things that undergirds it, the first thing that should have been done was to plant, foliage to be able to hold that mud in it. So it's just common sense is so many things that we are dealing with. But when you get overpowered with all of these sands that you're paying attention to, you're not going to be able to put your attention where it really needs to know as to how does survival work on this planet. And when we upset the environment, whether it would be the ecosystem or whether it be in our own personal lives, we are really asking for trouble because we're not putting our focus where it should be. And as I've gone through this last couple months of really deciding how I want to slim this down and make it to the very simple system, I found that very quickly my 5-page dissertation that I was going to write turned out to 35 pages and then 45 pages and 50 pages. And pretty soon I realized that I was really having to write an encyclopedia because there were so many factors that people have left along the way that really are big rocks that need to be taken care of first. And by first and foremost, what I've done is gone back and looking at the basics of putting together the big rocks. And if I can just get people focusing on the basics, their poverty mentality will go away and their prosperity mentality comes and starts taking over. And so as I said no to this lady that came for help yesterday, and then pointed her in some other directions. I said, apparently I'm not being able to provide for you what you need to do to shift your thinking, so maybe you need to, and then I referred her to a person that I thought or an organization that I thought might be able to help her to get her life aligned with it, and first and foremost is putting together her own thinking about what she is doing with her private life. You know, is she more interested in the socializing and et cetera, then providing for her basic needs. So if she is, then she's going to waste the money that she earned, and she would not have the 3 to 4 months or 6 months. I try to get people to have a 6-month security blanket so that when they have their income, they have at least enough money to pay for their basics for at least 6 months. So, you know, Dave Ramsey and many others like that teach the economic aspect that we need, and people that are already in business and already thinking about these concerns are people that can take and get these little shortcuts, and they can be jogged back into prosperity very quickly again, no matter whether they lost everything. So when we're talking about bitcoins and all the other things that might be going on right now, is if these people lost all of their income, most of those people that are playing in that realm, big deal. They know how to recover. And so it is the level of recovery of picking up those spilt rocks, and that was my topic for today, is just how do you go about once the big rocks get spilled out, how do you quickly get those back into a safe container again? And people that are survivors, the thrivers, those who are always, I'm always at that level of survive. you know, because once I get to past the level of survival, it's easy to thrive. But you can stop thriving very, very quickly if you don't understand the basics of survival. And that's your big rock. So I know we're out of time, so back to you, Peter.
Perfect. We're going to catch you next week. BuildingFortunesRadio.com/ideal or Ideal Network is the radio shows that you'll be able to find as far as the previous radio shows. And we do this one every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. So, Darlene, thanks for all the great information. We're going to catch you guys next week. Thanks for being here on Building Fortunes Radio.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network radio show on BuildingFortunesRadio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the BuildingFortunesRadio.com website to hear more segments with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingle. Darlene encourages everyone to join the Ideal Network so you can say, I live the ideal life, where I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Darlene, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word. Tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. We'll be right back.